Ahead in the Count, the podcast, a show about well, it's really about anything. With Jordan and Mason and Dustin, you never know what you're going to get. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
It's alright if you love me.
What?
It's alright if you don't.
What song is this?
I'm not afraid of you running away, honey. I get the feeling you won't.
Sing it, Tom.
There is no sense in pretend. Your eyes give you away.
Welcome in, guys. How are you doing? Once again, episode 29 of Ahead in the Count.
What song was that?
The podcast. It was Breakdown by Tom Petty. Apparently, you're not a real Tom Petty fan.
I'm not a real Tom Petty. I know his big songs. I know his hits. You could have gone, you know, with something a lot more people.
Yeah, Breakdown is a hit.
Was it really?
Yeah, 100%.
Never heard it. Never heard it in my life.
Okay, well, that's because you're not a big Tom Petty fan. You're a poser is what they like to call you.
Breakdown a big Tom Petty fan.
On Spotify, Breakdown has been played more than 16 million times.
Well, okay, is it his top five?
Yeah.
Where is it at?
Number four.
Why didn't you do one of the top three?
Because Breakdown's my favorite Tom Petty song, because I'm a real fan. Let me put on Mary Jane's Last Dance so everybody knows it.
Yeah, that's what a normal person that's trying to play to his audience, that's what they would do.
That's what a normal person who doesn't really know anything about Tom Petty would do. They're like,
well, this is not a Tom Petty podcast, George. It's a baseball podcast.
Today it's a Tom Petty podcast. Just let me get the show started. Welcome in, episode 29 of Head in the Count, the podcast, just showing a little tribute to the late, great Tom Petty there. Also, our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims of the Las Vegas shooting. If you happen to be listening to this, in Las Vegas or an area in Nevada, which I don't know why you would be, but if you are, go out, donate blood, and make sure that you do everything you can to help the people in need there. We have a lot of baseball to talk about, Mason, okay? And that's what we're going to do. We are going to talk heavy baseball for the next hour. Normally, we like to come in here and have a whole lot of fun, and we'll try and have some fun with things. I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun making fun of some of the stupid things the Braves have done over the past 3 or 4 days, but for the most part, it's going to be really baseball heavy. We're in the midst of the baseball playoffs or the beginning, but it is my favorite time of the year, the wild card game. And was that your phone that went off?
No, that was definitely your phone.
We talked about this last week.
That was 100% your phone.
I told you, if you keep bringing your technology in here. Anyway, I'll read that later on. I'm busy. So, we're going to talk a whole lot of baseball tonight. We're going to talk about the Braves. Life is basically over if you're a Braves fan.
Yeah. Who are we going to pull for now? I'm thinking Astros.
God knows it's not going to be the Nationals.
Not the Nationals, that's for sure.
It's not going to be the Nationals. So, we'll get into all that. You may not have a clue what we're talking about, but we do. That's why we're the podcast host, and you guys are the listeners. We are the experts. You are trying to learn from us, and that's what we are here to do, teach you some things. That sounds very conflated, doesn't it?
I don't know what conflated is.
Okay, it's a word I made up.
Okay.
But anyway, why don't we go ahead and jump into this from the bat. So, first things first. John Coppolella is, how do I put this nicely? Piece of trash.
We
apparently
hate him. We called it from the get-go. From the second he was hired, we were like, I don't like to cut this dude's jib.
Me and Mesh were talking about it off air, and I said, listen, man, we hate him now, but 5 days ago, we would have both kissed him on the mouth if he wanted us to. I would have washed his shoes if he walked into the studio.
Yeah,
right now.
I think everybody thought Coppolella was going to be like the next great GM, at least everybody in Braves country.
He was a good GM. He just really did it very shadily.
He was just a terrible person, and we just didn't know it. He kept all that in secret. But, you know, things come to light, and I think that we all know we're better off without John Coppolella.
Well,
we'll see.
We'll see. The jury's still out on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you don't know what he did, basically John Coppolella did a lot of things. He's being investigated by Major League Baseball. He resigned Monday, October the 2nd. As the GM of the Atlanta Braves after serving in that role since 2015. Basically, He's being investigated by Major League Baseball for a couple things, the biggest of which being some violations that he would have done during the international signing pool. So there's a couple things that they're looking at that they say he did wrong. First is with a guy like Kevin Maytan. International free agents from foreign-born countries get to become free agents at the age of 16. Now, a lot of teams have handshake agreements sort of under the table, but it's kind of odd to be sort of blatant with it because it was being reported with a guy like Kevin Maytan well before.
I don't think, from what I read, I don't think it was Maytan that was what we got in trouble for. I think it was sort of had to do with him, but not really. Basically, before we signed Maytan, the year before, right? Mm-hmm. The year before, everybody knew we were going to sign Maytan, right? It was, don't even bother with him. He's got a handshake agreement with the Braves, okay? But the year before, we still signed some guys. We signed Darian Cruz and Christian Pache. Christian Pache was, oh, that was fine. Darian Cruz would have sent us over, okay? I think we did some shady stuff to be able to sign Darian Cruz.
And that's what I was going to get into there. Yeah. The next thing that they're sort of looking at is the fact that basically the Braves were, they get these deals with these trainers, right? And basically when it comes to international signing, you don't have to know a whole lot about it. Just know each year there's a limit to how much you can spend on international free agent signing. If you spend over that, you incur a penalty where you can only spend $300,000 the next year. If you go over that, then the next year you can't sign any free agents. So it's like a 3-year period thing. They're working on fixing that by trying to implement a international free agent draft, which international free agents will not like, but it will be cheaper and it'll be a lot better for the lesser teams to be able to sign some talent that is a lot more, there's a lot better talent, but they don't have the payroll to sign it. So long story short, he's also being investigated for funneling money. So what he was doing, as you just sort of mentioned, was he was going with these players who were really talented, getting them to take less 1 year so that they wouldn't go over their cap so they could still sign the maximum the next year without going over the cap or whatever it is, and then taking some money who he was giving to guys who are of lesser quality, giving them more money than they deserve for their slot value, and funneling it back through those guys to the guys he had paid less last year, right? So yeah. It's kind of just like a big Ponzi scheme, which, in my opinion, and I don't know what the – we'll get into the
– wasn't there something – and you might not know about this. I'm asking you because I'm not really sure. I think I read something about – was it Drew Waters where, like – you know, they had a salary that, or they're not.
And they were going to offer him a car.
Yeah, it was something they give him a car.
Exactly. Hey, sign under slot value here, so we can save some money, and we'll give you a car. So yeah, it's basically things like that. Like it's kind of like, honestly, it's kind of like dealing with a used car salesman who's shady. Where he's like, man, you know what? This car right here is going to cost you $20,000. All right, it's going to cost you $20,000. And you're like, that car's not worth $20,000. Okay, well, how about this? I'll take $5,000 off the car, and you buy these new $6,000 tires right here, and we'll just call it even. You know, yeah. It's just kind of like some shady dealing so that that guy gets the things that he wants out of it, which is $20,000+. That's kind of what the Braves are doing here, doing some shady dealing so that they can get the guys that they want. I don't know if that's it, but I do know another thing is that there was some degrading relationships between the Braves front office. I think there was a situation where Coppola blew up in one of the draft meeting rooms over some stuff. And I just don't think he was liked very much by the people in the front office. I even heard that he was being investigated for the way that he interacted with some Braves employees, which I don't know if that's the secretary. I don't know what that was. But all of that stuff will come out in the long run. I think a anonymous, quote-unquote anonymous tip was sent in for that. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. I don't know what the penalty is going to be for the Braves. Okay, let me say that first off. I don't know what the penalty is going to be for them.
It can't be too severe, right? Because, like, the Braves fan base is one of the biggest in the nation. Like, they can't just completely give us the death penalty and just say, you know, you guys are going to suck for the next 5 or 6 years. Because
hold on now.
They're going to lose a lot of fandom.
The Red Sox got in a lot of trouble doing a lot of the same stuff a couple years ago.
Yep.
Nobody got fired. And they, in my opinion, have a bigger fan base than the Braves do. Okay?
Okay.
Nobody got fired. None of it was bad enough where anybody got fired from it.
They lost a few prospects.
They did lose a few prospects, which is going to get us into what is the possibility of the what could happen, basically. What is something that could happen here? So, one or two of the things that could happen is nothing could happen, okay? Absolutely nothing could happen. We go on, we find a new GM, and things continue on, and we just act like nothing happened. John Caparello was a short piece of our history. He did some great things, he did some crappy things, and we just go on from there. Two, the Braves might get a huge, hefty fine, okay, which is something else that might happen. Three, the Atlanta Braves may have to lose some draft picks, lose a year or two in the international signing pool. Like, they may not be eligible to do some of those things. And four, which would be, in my opinion, the worst and most egregious punishment, which the Braves might, depending on how much stuff comes out here, the Braves might have to endure. But four is they may have to give up these prospects that they signed with these under-the-table deals and stuff, things of that nature. And they've invested this money in them already, but they can't re-sign those guys. They just lose them. So, and that's what happened with the Red Sox. So,
I want to say this. If we lose a guy, we would not be losing Maitán, I don't believe. I think we would be losing Cruz, which I can live with us losing Darian Cruz.
I don't even know what he is, who he is.
Yeah, he's an average minor leaguer at the at the moment. So, I mean, like I said, I can live with that. I would be very bummed if we lost Maitán, however you say his name. I would be bummed if we lost him. But, you know, like I was telling Jordan right before the show started, Bowman has already tweeted and said, Mark Bowman, you know, the beat writer for the Atlanta Braves, said he does not believe that we will lose any prospects. So that's encouraging. That's good. That's very encouraging.
So I'm thinking that this is a lot less of, and I don't know the caliber that he did this thing. I know that one agent in a story I read reportedly, it was anonymous, I think, and he said he got a call like 2 months ago from John Caparello on one of his clients, a player who's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. And he asked him, he said, I know we still got 2 months left in the baseball, which is just tampering. You can't do in any professional sport. But he's like, I know you got 2 months left. 2 months left in the season. We'd love to talk to you about coming and being a Brave in the offseason. And the agent said, I've never seen a GM just blatantly disregard the tampering rules like that. So these are the things that we know about now. And I think as they continue to dig deeper, more and more sludge is going to come out of this. So
do you think it was just like inexperience on Caparello's part? Do you think Caparello just saw this, oh, everybody tampers, so I'm just going to do it blatantly? Do you think, because he was a young guy. I mean, what was he? He was like the youngest GM in baseball.
38.
38, that's pretty young for a GM.
I don't think it's inexperience because he went to Yale and he's been in the Braves.
I know. I mean, I'm talking about college.
But
he's
been in the Braves front office in some role since 2006.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's been there 11 years. It's not like this guy's a spring chicken. Like, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
I think he just thought, hey, who's going to tell on me?
Yeah.
He got the big head. He got his dream job. He got the big head. He said, nobody can F with me. Look at the Braves. Look at the moves that I pulled off. I got the number one overall pick for a guy who is now struggling to even stay on a roster in Shelby Miller. And I got Ender Inciarte, who won a gold glove and had 200-plus hits this year. I think he just started to get to a point where he was like, I'm the biggest dog on this block. It can't nobody bark at me, you know?
Yeah.
And I hate it for him. But here's what I want to ask you. Is this the end of John Caparello in baseball? Or do you think there'll be a team out there one day who will? I know the Marlins were thinking about hiring him, which that would be a very Marlins thing to do.
Oh my gosh!
But
can you imagine, just to get off just for a second? Can you imagine being a Marlins fan, finally getting rid of Jeffrey Loria?
I think they're terrified.
Getting Derek Jeter, being like so happy, but you know the monkey's paw just like curls, and they're like, oh yeah, you thought Jeffrey Loria is bad. Derek Jeter comes out, yeah, we're going to reduce payroll to $55 million. That's like 1/6 of what the Yankees have. I mean, that's unreal.
I mean, how much is Giancarlo Stanton alone going to cost them next
like
year?
Like half of that. About half of that, I believe. I can look it up, but
it's not going to matter because he's not going to be with them anymore.
No.
I can tell you what they're trying to do there. They're trying to get their investment back.
In Stanton?
No, in the team.
Yeah. But the thing with Stanton is he's going to be hard to trade because, okay, if you want to bet high on Stanton, right, you're looking at like a 3-year deal because he's got an opt-out, right? If you want to bet low on Stanton, say, okay, well, he has had trouble staying healthy, okay? When he's healthy, we know he does what he did this year, right? He's one of the best players in baseball. The question is, can he stay healthy? Because in 3 years, if he doesn't have great 3 years, then you're screwed. Then you have a terrible, terrible contract that you're locked into for like $200 million.
I don't think he's going to opt out either way. I think whether he has a great next 3 years or a terrible next 3 years, he is not going to leave. But I think he will. I think he's already said he doesn't want to stay on the Marlins if they're going to tank.
He's gonna get paid $25 million next year. That's
so literally half.
Yeah, well, a little bit less than half. But, yeah, half. $25 million out of $55 million. That's unreal. They've got to get rid of him.
The Marlins aren't going to have anybody because their three best players are outfielders. Their next best player is a first baseman. Their next best player after that is a second baseman. Their next best player after that is a third baseman. And then the catcher may be better than anybody on the infield. Like, to get below $55 million, they're going to be able to hang on to, like, Justin Bour. Like, they're going to have to pick one guy.
They're going to go full-fledged rebuild.
They're going to have to pick one guy and say, this is going, like, when the Braves had Freddie Freeman, we're going to have to pick one guy, this is going to be the face of our rebuild, and go from there. Whether it's Yelich, whether it's Ozuna.
I think they're just looking at themselves, and they basically are thinking the same thing that the Braves thought after the 2014 season, where they're like, okay, are we good? Yeah. But the pieces that we are away, we cannot afford to buy those pieces, and we don't have the farm system to produce those pieces. So we either sell now and try to have some sort of farm system, or we just keep being average for the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, in my opinion, what you do if you're the Marlins, and Braves, listen up, because this is what you need to do, because you're going to want to hire me and Mason as a team, and Dustin, even though he's in hell. I think what you need to do if you're the Marlins is either trade Stanton or Ozuna or Yelich. Pick one of those three guys. Trade them for a top-of-the-line starting pitcher. Find you a middle to decent, you might could trade a guy like a Prado for a major league-ready prospect who's not projecting to be all that great. There's some things you can do. You can rebuild this team in Miami if you don't go full rebuild, but you're going to have to get rid of a couple pieces that hurt to get rid of. I think Justin Bour would be great in the American League. I think Justin Bour would be great anywhere. Could you imagine him in Yankee Stadium? Of course, I know they've got Greg Bird, but he's a left-handed hitter. They've got a short left field porch. I mean, come on, man. Like, there are parks that would be way more conducive to a guy like Justin Bour than the Marlins park. Like, there are a few pieces that you could trade there to make the Marlins really good. They don't have any pitching, and they're supposed to have a good bullpen. They haven't had a great bullpen, but their bullpen is supposed to be really good. So they need some more starting pitching. But I'll tell you what, all of the Marlins' problems when Jose Fernandez passed away.
Yeah.
Because
they were like one piece away.
Exactly.
It was like, man, they were one top-of-the-line pitcher away from competing.
And they bet on Chin, and that was they lost their butt on that.
I think that this season really kind of showed the incompetence of their front office when they went out and they said, hey, we're just going to get a lockdown bullpen. And they went and they did their best, and they still had an average bullpen. Because that's out of everything, that's like the easiest thing you can do is to come up with a bullpen, right?
I don't know. I think it's hard to hit on a bullpen. Look at how many teams have terrible bullpens and great everywhere else. I mean, the Nationals were like that. I mean, they were great everywhere, starting pitching.
But what they
lineup.
Do, they went out, they got Doolittle. They got a couple guys.
Yeah, but they had to make it. But it's hard to do that before the season.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who would the Nationals have given away that wouldn't have hurt their team where they would have gotten a lot of good quality pieces back?
It just, I guess what I'm saying is
prospects?
I think not you every, have to re. I think
the Marlins don't have the prospects.
In my opinion, if you're a small market team, okay, which Miami is a huge city. I don't feel like Miami should be a small
huge
market
city,
team.
But they're a small market. They don't have they don't have the support that they should.
So what I'm saying though is, with a low payroll, I guess you cannot win without a farm system. You have to have that. You have to have something feeding your major league team. Because that's
the only way to get a good farm system is to cheat, like a couple of us been doing.
Well, cheat or you just got to go full-fledged rebuild and just bite the bullet and just say, okay, we're just going to trade off Giancarlo. We're going to trade off. I mean, Giancarlo's going to be hard to get rid of. I mean, it's true. He's going to be hard to get rid of. You're hoping that
you're going either way. You're going to have to keep. You're going to have to eat some of that.
Think about this, okay?
Money.
Just to hear. I mean, I know you already know this, but just for the listeners here, okay? Next year he gets paid $25 million. Okay.
Did he get paid this year?
$14 million.
Listen, Jeffrey Loria knew that he was selling the team this year.
Yeah.
Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Read the last 3 years of how much he made, and then read the next 3 years.
Well, remember when they signed him to this deal?
They backloaded it.
They said, we're going to backload it so we can build around you. Where was that building? It didn't happen. They didn't go get any. Who did they sign?
They were never going. The Marlins were never going to build around him.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was a straight lie, okay? But they backloaded this. $6 million his first year, $9 million his second year, $14 million this year. Next year, he's
getting $10 million jump
to $25 million. And then it goes 26, 26, 29, 29, 32, 32, 32, 29, 25, 25. We're talking a 10-year span of him making over $25 million. Who's going to take that? Who's going to take that on? Even if he is good.
The Marlins are going to have...
Who signs a player to their age 38 season when they're 25? 13 years? That's unreal.
They did that because they knew they were selling him. They were going to get him on the cheap, have him produce. And then when... Okay, we got to pay him $25 million next year. We'll just sell the team because somebody will want him. Great location. Beautiful sculpture.
Beautiful sculpture in center field.
I mean, Jeffrey Loria knew exactly what he was doing. Jeez, that was... He was running roughshod over the entire Marlins organization. That was hard for me to say. I struggled there.
Yeah.
But
what I'm saying is you're not going to get a lot for Stanton. No one's going to give them much. They might honestly have to package somebody with him. They might have to package somebody like Yelich with him.
But imagine, okay, if they traded Stanton, okay, to a team. I mean, Stanton's that guy, though. If you can get some prospects and major league ready talent, your team can be better after a trade of Stanton. Either way, you're still going to have to eat some of his money, right? I mean, just like the Padres were eating some of the money that we got from Matt Kemp, and the Dodgers were eating some of the money that we got from Matt Kemp.
$55 million, they cannot afford that. $55 million?
There's no way they'll get it. What is the lowest payroll in baseball this year?
Let me look it up.
The lowest payroll in baseball this year. I guarantee you it's probably around 64.
I bet it's higher than that.
I'm going to say it's about 64. The Twins can't have a high payroll. The Phillies don't have a high payroll.
Okay.
I know that.
All right. It's not as low as I thought it was. The lowest one is $50 million. It's the Brewers. The next is 55. It's the Tampa Bay Rays. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. That's the 25, man. Okay. Back it up. The lowest is the Brewers, but it's $63 million.
Yeah, so I said 64.
Okay, so 63 is the lowest right now, okay? They're going 55. That's almost $10 million less than that, and that's the Milwaukee Brewers, which they weren't bad, but they're basically living off of their farm system, right? All these young players. When Miami has no young players, who are they relying on?
Well, I mean, I will say this. That's another great thing that Coppy did. He went ahead and locked up Ender before the season started to a, 3-year extension?
Yeah.
And that's going to be a steal by the end of it. That's going to end up being a steal.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a great center fielder. I think that, if you're a Marlins fan, just get ready. You're going to be bad for a long time.
There's no way they're going to get their total payroll of their 50-man roster. No, of their 40-man roster to under 55 and be anywhere. I mean, they're going to lose everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, but I'll tell you what, Marlins fans, when you take a look at what you guys have endured the past few years, right? Mm-hmm. The Braves did it too, but if you take a look at what you've endured the past few years, high expectations for teams that severely underachieved, even though it's going to suck for like 3 or 4 years, in the end, you will have, I mean, Braves fans right now have extreme optimism. Okay, granted the fact their GM is a piece of junk, XGM is a piece of junk. We have high optimism. Great farm system. Good major league talent. We know what we need to compete.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, shoot. We hated the Kurt Suzuki signing before the season was started.
Yeah, and now
they signed for 30. They combined for 33 home runs this year.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think we talked about this at the beginning, you know, halfway through the season or so. You know, you put those two guys together, Flower Suzuki, we have one of the best
catchers
duos in baseball. I mean, you know, they're not Buster Posey, but both those guys are very good.
Yeah, and they have good strengths.
They were combined for like 5 wins. That's very good.
They have good strengths. They're not great players. I mean, Tyler Flowers is a great pitch framer.
They complement each other very well.
Exactly. Flowers has got neither one of them has an exceptional arm.
They hit for a decent enough average. They hit for just enough power. They both play decent enough defense. And they're good. They're good catchers.
Good, productive National League catchers.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they are. Individually, I mean, Suzuki's year may have kind of wowed you a little bit because he's never been the
guy
who
had a great year. Yeah.
19 home runs.
19 home runs. That's also, that 19 home runs, that's with him splitting time. He only played half the season. You
exactly.
Know? If he plays full time, you know, that's.
What do they combine? About a 275 average?
I'm not sure.
Right around there?
Off
so,
the top
I mean,
of my head.
Good enough average. I mean, I don't know what their OPS and stuff combined was, but. We say all that to say this. Okay, we all the stuff we've talked about for the past 10 minutes nonstop is to get back to this point. And the point I'm trying to make here is, it sucks we lost Coppy. I think everybody loved what he did. He had, you can look at his tenure with the Atlanta Braves and say he had one big, fat, complete miss for sure. Another trade is still yet to be seen how that one turned out. The Simmons trade is the one that's yet to be seen how it turned out. The Oliveira trade was obviously a big fat miss.
Yeah.
Because now Alex Wood is the frontline starter we need. Could you imagine having Alex Wood and Luis Avalon? I mean, we may have traded Avalon now, but all of those guys were had.
Peraza.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. I mean, is he great? No, I mean, geez, it'd be nice to have him at second base and have Ozzie at short right now.
Wait. Are you out on Dansby now?
I'm not out on Dansby. I'm just saying it would have been nice to have another option.
Welcome to the dark side.
I'm not the freaking dark side. I still think Swanson's better than Camargo, but that's, we've talked about that way too much.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it anymore. So,
but
would you say?
Okay, what are you?
No, you keep going.
Here's the question: where do the Braves go from now?
Okay, hold on. Before we get there, okay. Would you say that Coppy's tenure was a success?
Depending on, let's wait until we find out what our punishment is. You know, if the punishment's light, then yeah, I would definitely say that.
Assuming that we don't lose anybody.
We had a successful rebuild. I mean, there's the thing, and I was talking to somebody else about this the other day. Look at the other teams that started rebuilding around the same time as us. Would you rather be them or us? I'd rather be us.
The Phillies?
I would rather be us.
The
Brewers? I mean, they're pretty good, but I think they started a little earlier, did they not?
They may have.
I would rather be us than a lot of other teams.
We're in a really good spot.
I mean, we're not the Cubs. We're not the Astros. But the Cubs had a perfect luck. They had a lucky, perfect rebuild.
Well, they have Theo Epstein.
Yeah. If we had Theo, yeah, we would be better.
And moving on.
Okay.
From there, do you have another point you want to make? Speaking of Theo, I was going to make another point and move on. But if you got another point to make, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I'm going to try to get back to what we were actually talking about. Is where do we go from here?
Okay, exactly. Where do we go from here? There have been a couple names who have been thrown around. As it stands right now, John Hart is the acting GM. I think he would do a good enough job of handling and managing things, but I think he would rather be in the president role. I think he's reached a point where he wants to be where he was at and wants to have a GM underneath him he can trust, okay? And from what I understand, apparently Coppola sort of bullied his way into that role.
Really?
He's like, all right, I've been here for whatever. It's my turn. Next in line, blah, 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 blah. But he did some great things. I think his tenure was a success.
I agree.
Even if we lose a Cruz prospect, even if we lose a Maytan, which I would hate to do that, but even if we just lose those two guys.
Even if we lose Maitán, we still have a top five farm system. That's 100%. Unarguable. It's unarguable. 100%.
Yeah. I don't want it to happen because then I'll get really mad if Maytán turns out to be great.
Yeah.
But it's still one of those things. Okay. So moving on from there, here are a couple names who have been thrown around as possible replacements for John Coppola. One was Dan Jennings, former pitcher for the Marlins, I believe. He was also the former GM and former manager at one point in time. So Dan Jennings is a guy whose name has been thrown around. Dylan Moore, I believe.
Dayton Moore.
Yeah. The Rockies GM?
No, the Royals.
Royals. I meant Royals. Sorry, I meant to say the Royals. The Royals GM, he was a former Braves front office guy, so this would be a homecoming for him. And those are really the two big names that I've seen out there.
Did you say Dan Jennings?
Yeah.
The 30-year-old former pitcher?
He's not 30, is he?
Yeah, he's just 30 years old. Maybe it's a different guy. Maybe it's like a senior, junior. I don't know. But all I've heard personally is Dayton Moore, okay? And the thing with Dayton Moore is he's a former Braves guy, and if there's one thing that we all know about the Braves is we love the Braves. The Braves organization loves the Braves organization, and we try to hire people from inside, right? I think we can agree on that. So getting a guy like Dayton Moore would shock nobody, you know? And Dayton Moore, he made it to two World Series, and they won a World Series. But in my opinion, not a big Dayton Moore fan. I don't really like the things he does. I think, if I'm being honest, I feel like he kind of lucked out on that World Series. I don't think that Royals team was really all that great. I think they kind of lucked into that World Series. What do you think?
I don't think they lucked into it. I think they were built great for that 2-year span.
Yeah,
they did get a lot of luck out of it though.
Yeah, there was a lot of luck. There was a lot of just kind of they were unconventional, you know. That small ball, old school, I'm not huge on that. You know, I would rather just be built to just with really good players and not have that like chemistry thing that they had going for him there. But hey, if he wins this World Series, I couldn't care less how we win it, right? I just want to win a World Series. That being said, I wouldn't be like totally bummed if we got Dane Moore, but he definitely wouldn't excite me, you know?
He's not sexy. You're saying he's not a sexy hire.
Not a sexy hire.
You know who would be a sexy hire? There was a guy, and my computer's not working right now. Surprise, surprise. But there was a guy who is rumored to be sort of in the running for the Braves GM spot who is sort of under that Theo Epstein camp.
Where have you read all this? Because I didn't see any of this.
I can't remember where I read it, but I read all this stuff. I'm not making it up. Yeah, and I'll find his name when my computer starts working again. I would not mind anybody who brings a Theo Epstein mindset to it. But you've got to think about this, okay?
Yeah.
Here's what went into Theo Epstein's biggest successes with the Red Sox and now with the Cubs. He went to big market teams with a big money payroll.
Yeah.
And even though he did a great job of building from young players, he still spent a lot of money. And Liberty Media Group has just not proven to be a big money spender. They want to get guys on the cheap. That's exactly why they hired John Coppola, because they knew that he was going to improve things on the cheap in the first place. It'll be remain to be seen who the Braves go with. And I'm still trying to pull up the guy's name
Here's my thing. Here's my thing, okay? What did John Hart know about the John Coppola things? If John Hart was fully aware of everything that Coppola was doing and he was just okay with it and just told Coppola, hey, you getting caught, you're going down with the ship – does he need to be in his role? Do we need a clean house? Do you just, if you're, you know, president or whoever, do you just say, hey, you know what, screw this. We're getting all new everybody.
He is a president. So it'd have to go up to Sherholtz or the front office. And there's
just the top of the top. When do you just say, screw the Braves way, we're starting over from scratch?
Apparently the Braves way is shady. So I think they do need to do that.
Yeah. Because that's all Coppola could talk about is we do things the Braves way. Well, what if the Braves way needs to be a new way? Maybe we need to get a new start over, clean house.
See, at this point in the rebuild, though, I would rather get somebody who's going to see this rebuild through instead of an entirely new regime that is coming into a situation that they didn't have or has never experienced with a great bullpen and decent pieces at the major or great minor league system and decent pieces at some key spots in the major leagues. Like, I would rather have somebody who.
But if you're a GM, this is where you want to go, right? Like, obviously Theo's not coming to Atlanta, but if you're Theo Epstein, right, and you're like, okay, I'm going to take this job, you got to be wanting to go to the place that's got the stocked farm system. Now, you know, granted, you want to have a huge payroll along with that stocked farm system, but that's what you want, right?
This would be the biggest challenge to date for Theo Epstein. And I don't know if the way that he builds teams...
Because of the payroll.
I don't know if the way he builds teams is built to what the Braves have.
Yeah, because we can't go sign a John Lester.
No, we've seen the Braves have some big payrolls in the past.
Yeah, but
I mean, 2014, 2013, 2014, they had a huge payroll. They had the Upton brothers, they had Freddie, they still had Ugla out there. I mean, they still had a big payroll then. And I think if you take that payroll and give the Braves the current state that they've got right now with the minor league team, that could end up being a really good situation for a GM.
Yeah.
But here are some other names that have been thrown around there. You mentioned Dayton Moore. Dan Jennings is a guy who is sort of a possible candidate there. J.J. Piccoli is the assistant GM, vice president of player personnel for the Royals. So if the Braves can't get Moore, why not consider his top assistant? Piccoli worked with the Braves from 1999 through 2005. Granted, 2006 is the year Coppy took over. This is from the AJC.com, written by Gabriel Burns. So that is where we're getting these references. Really good article here by Gabriel. Another guy is Jason McLeod, senior vice president of scouting / player development for the Cubs. McLeod is an unheralded voice in the Cubs front office, along with Theo and Jed Hoyer. He, too, has a background in player evaluation. McLeod has been key in the draft room, helping his team select players like Jacoby Ellsbury, Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber, Anthony Rizzo, Josh Reddick, and others. He'll appeal to several teams in a new age analytic friendly candidate. And then Kyle Stark, assistant GM for the Pirates. The Braves should consider the young route again, and the 38-year-old Stark would be a logical candidate for where the system stands. Stark has served under Neil Huntington since he arrived in Pittsburgh. He began as a farm director and was promoted to assistant GM in 11. Stark helped take the Pirates from 2 decades of misery to playoff contender through the development of a deep farm system. Sound familiar? Stark would be well-stocked in Atlanta and have more financial freedom as well. So, in my opinion, just taking a look at the guys who are here, I don't want Dayton Moore because he had 2 years of success that was great. They got their World Series, and they haven't done anything since. Dan Jennings, he used to pitch for the Marlins. Here's what it says about him as far as his resume goes. He's likely the early name on Hart's mind. He joined the Nationals in 2016 after a 13-year tenure with the Marlins. Like Coppola, Jennings' background is in scouting. He worked his way from associate scout to GM of the Marlins in 14 and leading the Fish to a 15-game improvement. But he doesn't have the same experience with the stocked minor league system that some of these other guys. So as it stands right now, I don't want anybody from the Royals. I want somebody who can come in, has experience winning, and can sustain that success at the major league level. They make all the right moves. Right now, for me, it's between Jason McLeod and Kyle Stark because it wasn't that long ago. You think, well, why would you want the Pirates GM? But it wasn't that long ago that the Pirates sucked. Everybody wanted to play the Pirates, and now look where the Pirates are. They're a team that, if they can keep their outfielders off steroids, have a chance of being a competitive team year in and year out.
Yeah, and they also that him he's an example of someone who dealt with a low payroll.
Exactly.
So that would be something that we would need.
I would still like a Jason McLeod. I would like a guy like a Jason McLeod, but I would be fine with a Kyle Stark. Either one of those two. Now the Braves are going to screw it up because they always have. And if you're listening to me, don't screw it up, John Hart. Don't go hire Dayton Moore. If you do, I'm going to boycott the Braves. I'm just not. I'm not going to watch them. Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to watch them until you get a new GM. Don't go get a guy just because he's familiar with the Braves system.
That's what I don't like is that we always do that, you know? Whenever we go to hire a manager, what does every fan, every Braves fan always goes, oh, we need to get Chipper. Why? Because he was a good player? Why does that make him a good – I would rather get a good manager. You know, that type of stuff just, like, it just annoys me.
How do we keep missing on managers, too, by the way? That's a question that I have. How do you keep missing on managers? They're making decisions that any kid who plays MLB The Show can make properly. Yeah. They're making them the wrong way. Why do we keep trotting old Noodle Arm 53 Jim Johnson out there time in and time out to lose games?
How hard is it? Managers, you walk, hey, TP, what does this guy do against lefties? He does this. Okay, let's go get to him. Like, it's like, how hard is that?
Not hard.
It's not. TP sitting there with a binder that's got all the stats, got everything he needs to know. It's just a judgment call right on the spot. How hard is that?
I'm fine with Kevin Seitzer. I think Chirk Hernandez has to go. I don't think that experiment's going to work out. I'm fine with Kevin Seitzer. I like what he's doing with our swingers. I mean, look what he did with Cameron Maben in the year that Cameron Maben was here. He went from okay to a pretty good player who brought back a decent return. He does a great job with a lot of our young guys.
There's more than Maben. Look at Flowers. Look at Suzuki. Both those catchers.
I think we have the best hitting. I think we have the best hitting coach in Major League Baseball.
I don't know if I go that far, but I think he's pretty good.
He's up there. He's top five. He's top five.
Toronto.
Huh?
What about Toronto? That's pretty tough to...
Yeah, but you know what he did in Toronto? He made everybody start doing the high leg kick, okay?
And they all started hitting the ball.
Exactly.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah, but I mean, look at the Braves now. I mean, those guys are hitting the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I'm agree. I think that Kevin Seitzer is very good. I was just... We're arguing over something dumb, so let's just keep going.
Yeah, it's peanuts. So, all that comes down to... Braves might end up losing a few players... Copy's gone. I wonder how long it'll be before a desperate team ends up signing him, because I think at some point somebody will look at him. They'll look at what the Braves did in these 2 years. They know he's aggressive, but they also know he's kind of a piece of trash, especially the way he treats the employees. You are listening to Ahead in the Count, the podcast. Mason Davis, Jordan Campbell. I think that's the first time I've even said our names. Started off with that great tribute to Tom Petty with Breakdown that you'd never heard of.
I don't know what that is.
It's a great song. You need to listen to it. Tom Petty, one of the GOATs, passed away on Monday. All right, so let's go ahead and switch gears. One more thing on the Braves before we do switch gears. It looks like the Braves will be retaining the services of Brian Snitker. I like Brian Snitker. The Braves like Brian Snitker. I think they even penned a letter to the front office to keep Brian Snitker. But I don't think he's the guy who's going to lead this team to a championship, okay? We don't think about it in baseball, but the decisions that a manager makes in-game from game to game, day to day, really do affect how good a team is, okay? You've got to know what you've got. You've got to know what you're going to work with. Why was Freddie Freeman still in the game at the end of the year? He should have went ahead and started rehabbing his wrist. We could have got Matt Adams. To me, it just makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Freddie's wrist has been ailing him for what seems like the last month of the season. go ahead and sit him, play Matt Adams. If Matt Adams comes out and does what he did at the beginning of the year, all that happens is his trade stock, his trade value goes through the roof this summer. We trade him. If you don't now, it's just kind of like, yeah, well, maybe that he was just in a good stretch.
And that, I mean, there's a possibility that that might not have been on Snicker. That might have been something that, you know, John Harder, John Coppola said, hey, no, we want you. We need Freddie playing. You know, we need to be trying to win games. So that we don't necessarily know. The thing that bothers me is he's just not good at managing a bullpen. He's terrible. Not. I mean, there was rumors that Hart chewed him out one time for putting Johnson in when we were up by two runs or something. He's like, we're trying to win this game, and you're putting in one of our, arguably our worst bullpen pitcher. Like, there.
And if I'm Snicker, you know what I say? You're the guy who signed him originally in the first place.
Yeah.
This is on you, buddy.
But
yeah, that's not a good decision.
He's just making bad bullpen decisions. He's not a good manager. And you cannot, we talked about this with Freddie, you cannot manage in the National League if you cannot manage a bullpen. That's all this is, really. Making lineups is easy. I can make the Braves lineup.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
Bullpens and pinch hitting situations are the two things you have to know. Yeah. It's, if you're looking at the American leagues, it's a freaking breeze to be an American League manager.
Joke, man.
It is a freaking breeze. That's why I think the National League should win more World Series than the American League. Because the American League is not as used to playing. But nowadays, now that we've got the same amount of teams in both divisions.
Yeah.
Because they're used to playing with nine hitters.
Yeah.
Starting to come around on the DH rule.
About freaking time, dude.
Get rid of it in the AL. Everybody plays with the pitcher.
Wait. Say it again?
Starting to come around on the DH rule. Get rid of the DH in the American League, and everybody has to hit with the pitcher. Wait, nobody's throwing that out there as a suggestion.
Yeah, because it's terrible.
Everybody's saying,
you know, is that, that's how you can typically know when something's a good idea or a bad idea, right? When people are talking about change, okay, and you're going, should, and the argument is always, should the NL adapt the DH? No one's ever even arguing, should the AL lose the DH? Because everybody in the AL loves it. So we're just being, you're,
there's
just being
a reason
old-fashioned.
The National League is called the senior circuit and the American League is called the junior circuit, because the big boys do it right.
Okay, well, we'll just leave it. We'll leave it at that and go on to the next topic.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Campbell hits a walk-off.
Is that, that was you hitting a home run?
Did you not hear the of the bat? And no. Everybody,
are you a pitcher or are you a pinch? Were you a pinch hitter?
I'm a pitch hitter. I'm Madison Bumgarner. Uh-huh. I'm Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm both. All right, so don't know who the Braves are going to hire as a manager, but let's get off the Braves. We've talked for 42 minutes about the Braves, and we're sitting here the entire time watching the National League wild card game. Anybody who is invested in this podcast, invested as us in a show, knows that we, well, I, these Mason and the long lost ghost of Dustin don't necessarily agree. I love the one game wild card play in.
It's okay? Terrible.
I love it. These guys are, now, granted, I'll be 100% honest with you. This year, so far, they've both sucked. Neither one of these teams is going to win the World Series because they don't have the pitching for it. This is the rare time that I think
you're
going to
feel so dumb. If one of these teams is up winning the World Series.
The Yankees or the Rockies or Diamondbacks win the World Series. I mean, but here's the
actually,
deal.
The Yankees, I could actually see because they got a great bullpen. They got
they
a, good
have a good
lineup.
Bullpen, but they don't have a great starting rotation.
But you don't need
Luis,
it.
Luis.
I mean, the,
yeah,
the
you,
Cleveland,
you
the
need
Indians
it.
Showed
You've
us.
You've got to have a starting rotation. You've got to have a starting rotation in the playoffs because you can't have your guys come. You play so many games in so many days back to back to back. They're must-win games. You can't have all of your starting pitchers come out in the third inning. You can't do it. You need guys to pitch into the sixth, the seventh, and then go to your bullpen and be locked down from there and have the lead.
I think that's what we said about the Indians last year. And sure enough, they had Trevor Bauer out there with stitches in his hands, couldn't pitch past the third. They just had Andrew Miller come in and just crush it every game.
Okay, but exactly. Andrew Miller was shot. And Andrew, you could see the repercussions of Andrew Miller this season. He has not been as sharp as he was last year.
What I'm saying is
neither has Aroldis Chapman when they brought him in to pitch like the last three innings against the Indians in game seven.
What I'm saying is if you have a good bullpen, it can supplement an average rotation. If you just got one or two guys that can pitch coming out of the rotation, that's all you really need, just one or two guys.
I don't know if it supplements it.
I think it definitely does.
Enough.
Yeah.
I don't think it supplements it enough. Case in point, I don't think the Yankees this year are going to be that way. They've got a really good bullpen, but I don't know if their starting pitching is going to be good enough.
Yeah, you really do need to have one or two stud guys.
We talk about the Indians bullpen, about how good they were, but we don't talk about how good their starting rotation was. I mean, they did all of that last year.
They were great. They just all got injured right before
exactly.
the postseason.
Exactly. Carrasco and Bauer, and who's the guy who won the Cy Young a year ago?
Kluber? No, not
Kluber.
Was it Kluber? Yeah.
Kluber. And, I mean, you look at – and they've got the guy with the long hair. I can't remember his name. Mike something. I mean, Mike Clevinger. They had some really decent starting pitchers.
They just all got hurt.
All of those guys would come into the Braves organization and be the number one. Any one of those guys would come in and be the number one, maybe the number two. But they wouldn't be any lower than that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like – They were really stacked up. And I think that with that being said, the Indians have been here.
This is my opinion. This is just my opinion. Okay, hot take here. Having a lockdown rotation is how you win the regular season. Having a lockdown bullpen is how you win the postseason. I really think that.
I still think pitching wins championships in the postseason.
It's both pitching. Huh? I'm saying starting pitching, all right, having a great number, five starting
the
pitchers.
Regular season is about preserving your bullpen and them doing great when they come in. The postseason
is about just riding them out.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
What bullpen's arms have gas left in them?
I'm saying having the starting pitching be really, really good is how you win regular season games. Having your bullpen be really, really good is how you win postseason games.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, let's be honest, if you're in the postseason, your starter's not going 6-7 innings. You're pulling him as soon as you think that he's getting tired, and you're putting in your bullpen. Because you want to have as many off days as you have in the postseason, you want the fresh arm in. Right?
I don't know. I think if you've got a starting pitcher who can go into the eighth, you let him go into the eighth.
It just doesn't happen as much anymore. I mean, back in the 90s, you know, was it Glavin that went like 8 innings in 95 or something like that? But it's just not – they don't do it as much anymore, man.
But think about this. Think about how much of an advantage it is. If you have a starting pitcher who can pitch into the eighth, pitches lockdown, shutout, baseball, okay? Your team wins. All you do is maybe bring in the closer or bring in a guy, if your lead is big enough, who's not that great, who's not going to lose the game for you, okay? But the other team has to go to their bullpen in the fifth inning. So they've got a guy who pitches the fifth, a guy who pitches the sixth, two who pitch in the seventh, a guy who pitches the eighth and the ninth. I mean, think about how much fresher that bullpen's going to be with the guy who went 8 innings in the postseason compared to the guys who have been trying to go with a bullpen since the 5th inning.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think I'm in agreement with you that a good bullpen can win you the championship, but I think there's a lot more that needs to be paid towards the starting pitching talent than just, hey, get us through 4 innings and we'll let the bullpen take over, because eventually your arms are going to blow out. And Aroldis Chapman's arm blew out on him last year. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like,
are you talking about just because he gave the home run to what's his name?
Rajay Davis.
Yeah, Rajay Davis. Is that what you when you say his arm blew out?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
meant?
He didn't actually get injured, but I mean, he just didn't have the gas left.
They were trying to use him
like Andrew Miller, and
I think that was them trying to force a square peg into a circle. Like, he's just not that guy. Andrew Miller is that guy that can come in whenever, and Rodgers is not, and that's fine. You're not that guy. Then don't be the guy.
Yeah.
But what he does is he closes games out very well, and that's what they need to use him for. But if you have that Andrew Miller, that Chris Devinsky, or who's the guy for the Yankees? Green, I think. That he just comes in whenever. Very good bullpen.
Chad Green.
Yeah,
Chad Green?
I don't know. I think that might be right. Those are huge weapons for the postseason. That's huge weapons in the postseason. Because not only is it that it's easier on your starting rotation, when you need that couple innings to get through, that's you just calling that guy. It doesn't have to be the ninth inning, because a lot of times the ninth inning is the easiest inning to pitch. You know, you're up by 5 runs, bottom of the lineup, it's the ninth inning. Why do you need your best reliever then?
Yeah, you don't need your best reliever then.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? So having that
Andrew Miller, closers are an overrated stat.
What, saves?
Yeah, saves.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I think that the bullpen is one of the biggest things about postseason. So that being said, let's move on to the next subject. Who's going to win this thing?
Well, before we get to there, the Yankees and the Twins played last night. The Yankees,
they won.
Huh?
The Yankees won.
Yeah, the Yankees came out on top there. But you look at what they're starting pitching. Of course, they only had one starting pitcher, but they went with their number one guy, Severino.
Yeah.
And he got the shortest recorded out, I believe, in Yankees outing in Yankees history.
Was it
one out. One out, and they went to their bullpen.
And they still won the game.
Out and still won their game.
Because of that bullpen.
But their bullpen still gave up some runs afterwards.
But now they're going to get a day off. They'll get rested. They'll be good to go. Because that's how the postseason works.
I don't know. I've been saying that. I said before the season started, I said, watch out for the Rockies. I like the way this team is constructed. And their strength is not necessarily their lineup this year. They have a really good starting rotation.
Yeah.
I was wrong to a degree. The rotation has been decent enough. Mm-hmm. Their bullpen, I don't think, is that great. Of course, they do have Neshek. But their lineup, once again, did prove to be the best, one of the better lineups in baseball.
Yeah. Dude, did you see Nolan Arenado's, what, a 309 with, like, 39 home runs? How does that guy put up numbers like that and people don't talk about it?
Because he plays in Arizona. I mean, because he plays in Colorado.
It's unreal.
Nobody's going to – I mean, Charlie Blackmon, to me, is the straight-up MVP.
Yeah.
I mean, from the leadoff spot, he hit 37 home runs and drove in 103 RBI in the leadoff spot.
Unreal.
In the leadoff spot.
Yeah.
That's one of the best seasons we've ever seen from a leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they play in Colorado. I mean, who – Todd Helton, was that the last guy to win MVP who played for Colorado?
Probably. I don't know.
I don't know. Colorado, I like their chance. I like them in a – I'd like to see them in a series. I think I said that I thought the Rockies would win this game, and of course it's not over yet. Rockies
4-6.
The Rockies still may come back and win this game, but
they got a couple innings.
I still said I didn't Zach Greinke, I didn't trust him very much. I mean, I know he's a great pitcher, but he didn't have a great year. He started off the year and he looked horrible.
Yeah.
And it took him a while to get on track. But so out of the Yankees and the Twins, obviously the Yankees won. Do you think the Yankees have a chance to make it to the World Series? That's all I want to know.
Who are they playing this? What's the bracket? I need to look at the bracket.
Okay, we'll take a look at it, and I'll tell you. You are listening to Ahead in the Count, the podcast. Right now, we're taking a look at the playoff bracket.
I like it that you always say that when we got fill-in time, as if anybody was listening to go, wait, what am I listening to right now? As if they didn't click on it. Like, it's not a radio show.
Well, I know. I know it's not a radio show, but okay, look, there's a curtain. I'm going to give you guys a peek behind it. I've come to be able to say, of course, I do a lot of on-air stuff at the radio station here. Do the high school football stuff. I call football games. I call basketball. I call baseball games. I do spots on the air. I do coaches shows. So I have gotten into the mentality where I can just state the name of what I'm doing and go look up whatever I need to look up without just there being awkward silence. So, like, I know, like, you guys know you're listening to Ahead in the Count, the podcast.
Obviously. But if you're on the radio, that makes sense because sometimes people don't know what
they're saying. Exactly. It's ingrained in me. Yeah. I need to get my radio. Like, I need to take everything from radio and just throw it out the window when we do the podcast.
Yeah, because it's totally different.
Yeah, 100% different.
When we used to do the radio show and I had to take a sip of water, I'd be, like, so quiet about it because I didn't. But then the podcast, like, who even cares?
Yeah.
It's, like, a completely different
If you're as dedicated to this podcast of listening to it as we are of making it,
you don't give a crap
what goes on. It was like last week when I told Mason, like, I'm going to start finding you if your technology goes off. And less than 10 seconds later, my computer goes off.
Yeah.
Did that just happen? Like, but anyway, so the Yankees will take on the Indians.
That'll be a good series.
Do you really think it will?
I think it will.
I just don't trust the Yankees starting pitching.
I know with that lineup, dude.
I know that they got Sonny Gray. I know that they got Severino. And I know they've got CeCe Sabathia. But beyond that,
I don't know what it is, just Aaron Judge. It's just Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez just make me get like
What wins championships?
Scoring the most runs.
No, in baseball, what wins championships?
What wins games? How do you win a baseball game? Score more runs than the other guy.
Okay. But you're being a jerk right now. You're being an a-hole. Because you know that the answer is pitching. Pitching wins baseball championships. Pitching wins baseball championships. We've talked about it before, and I'll stick to that to my grave. Pitching wins championships. If you look at this game right now, I don't care how many runs the Rockies score. If they've got great starting pitching and were to keep Arizona off the board, the Rockies would win this game. Pitching wins championships because the Rockies have a great lineup. I think the Rockies may have just as good of a lineup as the Cubs, just as good of a lineup as the Nationals, just as good as a lineup as the Dodgers, just as good as a lineup of the Diamondbacks, just as good of a lineup as any team that's in this postseason, but they don't have the pitching because pitching wins championships.
All right. Okay, so who are you picking, Cleveland or Yankees? Let's just go right now.
I'm going to go with Cleveland. I'm going to go with Cleveland there. I think Cleveland has a chance.
I'm going to go Cleveland, too, just because they're a very, very hot team. I'm going Cleveland.
I think I like Cleveland.
But I don't think it'll be a blowout. I really don't think it'll be a blowout. I think it'll be closer than you're giving it credit for.
You think it'll be a 3-2? You don't think it'll be a 3-0?
I think you're going to see a lot of, like, the Indians got it. Oh, there's another bomb that just tied it back up. Stuff like that. I think the Yankees are going to hold in there. I think they're going to hold it. I don't think that they'll
beat
the Indians.
Did you watch that game? Any other game?
I watched are you talking about the Yankees?
Yankees Twins.
I watched a little bit of it, and then I just kind of kept up with what was going on my phone. I didn't watch
the
whole game.
None of the Twins pitchers were missing bats.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because the Yankees were doing such a great job of putting it on there. I mean, Irvin Santana early in that game, when the Yankees gave up their most, when the Twins gave up the most runs, Irvin Santana could not pitch. He was, I mean, his catcher Castro was setting up down and outside, and he was pitching it missing up and in. I mean, yeah. he wasn't hitting his spots. You get you a team like the Indians who's hitting their spots every single time when that's thrown down back there. Yeah. It's going to be hard to hit.
I think we're both picking Indians on that one. So
yeah, we're both picking Indians. Okay.
Red Sox Astros. This is a good
one.
That's
going to be a great series. That's going to be a great series.
I really do. I joked earlier about being an Astros fan. I've always said Astros are my AL team. I just like the Astros. I've always liked the Astros. I'm going to be pulling for them. They got a great lineup. They got a good bullpen. I'm just going Astros. They're well-balanced.
The Red Sox don't have that go-to guy anymore like they did when Poppy was there, okay? They don't have the guy. Who do you point to on this Red Sox team now and say, okay, we need a big hit in a big situation. This is the guy we want up there. Who is that guy you point to for the Red Sox?
The fact
that you had any hesitation is the problem there. Last year and the previous 20 years, it was always David Poppy.
David Poppy.
So when I say...
So you're going Astros too?
I think so.
Okay, so Astros-Cleveland, who you got?
That's going to be a heck of a series. And that one is going to be a lot closer than last year's ALCS. Yeah. The Astros, to me, are built very similarly to the Indians, only their lineup may be a little better. Okay,
I think Astros have a little bit little better lineup. Indians got a little better rotation.
I would say...
Bullpens are similar.
I don't know. I would say the Indians probably have a better bullpen, but I would say the rotation is a wash. Because you got Verlander, you've got Keuchel.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like I think that
they're forgetting that they added Verlander. I always forget that, man.
I think the rotations are pretty much a wash there. So, but when you look at the rotations being pretty much even and the bullpen not going towards the Indians, who do you got to go with there?
You're saying Indians? It's
hard to repeat.
I've said this before. When I am a fan of a team, I can never pick against them. I will never pick against Alabama. I'll never pick for Auburn, and I'm not going to pick against Houston. They're going to be my team. I'm going for them.
So you think Houston's going to beat Cleveland?
But if Cleveland beats Houston, I won't be surprised. It'll be close.
I think Cleveland has done a very nice job of setting themselves up to be in this position once again. And I believe I picked Cleveland to get back to the World Series before the season started.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to stick with Cleveland. All right. With that being said, of course, I'll be pulling for Cleveland in the back of my mind, but I do kind of want to see what the Astros do. I think the Astros have a really good lineup, but I don't know how much you trust, like, Brian McCann and Evan Gattis to not go up there and strike out.
Yeah.
Where when you look at the Indians rotation, they don't really have a bunch of guys who stand out as strikeout machines.
Yeah.
So, and once again, the rotations might be a little bit of a wash. I think Cleveland's a little deeper, but I think their bullpen is better with Cody Allen and Andrew Miller. Okay, so I think Cleveland makes it back to the World Series out of the AL. Who do you have winning this game tonight between the Rockies and the Diamondbacks? So when this podcast goes live, we will either be immediately right or wrong.
That's scary, man. Yeah. That's scary. You go first.
Let's see. The Diamondbacks are up.
Is it the sixth inning?
I think it's the sixth inning.
It's hard to pay attention to what's going on while we're also talking because, you know, when we're in here, my focus is 100% on podcasts. I do not watch TV.
I've been looking at your eyes all night.
I make eye contact. Yeah, me and Jordan hold eye contact for the entire hour and a half. Our attention never goes off of the podcast. It's just me and him talking baseball.
It might as well be called the podcast because I can't take my eyes off that body.
Okay, bud. Okay. I don't know how to respond to that. Okay.
Okay, bud.
Okay, so Diamondbacks are up by 2 runs. I'm going to say it's the sixth inning.
You going to play the percentages and go Diamondbacks here?
Oh, man. I don't know. I just feel like it wouldn't surprise me if wouldn't it just be a Rockies thing to do to hit a 3-run bomb and win this thing?
It would be a Rockies thing to do.
Oh,
Before the season started, I said, watch out for the Rockies, man.
Yeah.
I like the way they're constructed. I think that their bullpen is a little bit – or their rotation is a little underrated. I think they have a decent bullpen. And you know about their offensive lineup.
So who are you picking?
Both teams are in the bullpen now. I'm going to go with the Rockies.
You're gonna say upset or comeback. I guess comeback is basically what I'm trying to get at. I'll just to be different. I'll go Diamondbacks.
Six innings is 9 outs left.
That's my strategy, by the way. Anytime I don't really have a good opinion, I'll ask the other person, and then I'll say, well, just to be different, I'll go against you. That way, if I lose, I can say, well, I was just saying that to be different.
I think the Diamondbacks are going to win. I really do. But just based off the percentages, they should win now.
Yeah.
But once again, being down only 2 runs,
you've got
3 innings to work with. If your pen can hold them, you've got 3 innings to score a couple runs and at least tie it up, send it to overtime.
Yeah.
The biggest problem that I've had with these NL wildcard games is they're starting too daggum late.
Yeah.
It's 9:18 and we're only in the 6th inning. Last night, that game lasted for freaking ever. Forever. I don't care if these games are on the West Coast. Last night's game wasn't on the West Coast. Tonight's game is, but last night's wasn't.
No.
I don't know why it started so late.
I don't know. Tomorrow, I think I looked at the schedule tomorrow. The ALCS starts, or ALDS starts at like 1:30 or something. It's like a lunchtime game. The postseason makes no sense in that way. Like, they'll start games.
They're
so
going to try and do everything they can to avoid conflicting with football. Yeah. Even if it's Thursday night football, the Patriots are playing, they know that's going to get a big draw.
Yeah.
And I think I got to applaud baseball for that. Before, they would just plow through and they were the most popular sport in America. Mm-hmm. But they recognize we're not the most popular sport in America anymore.
No.
I hate to say it.
All right.
Okay.
Back to answer the question from earlier. Is the top of the 6th. The Rockies are down 2. Trevor Story is batting.
He's just going to play the whole game here?
Yeah, no.
I'm going to go home.
Is pitching. I don't know his name. Guy with a beard.
Robbie Ray.
Oh, soft grounder to short. And there's out number 1.
Okay, so that was a pretty good example of a call. All right, it's my turn. Here, I'm gonna do a call.
Yeah, was it Randy Johnson?
It's Randy Johnson. That's Randy Houser. Listen, plug this in for me, okay?
Okay.
I'm gonna give the fans an example of my baseball call. Okay, we'll see. We'll see who likes it better. You can vote on this at Cam on All on Twitter. I'm not gonna have a poll up, but just
tweet
me.
I already know that you're better than me. You're gonna do the old. Are you gonna do the? Do your thing. Just do your thing.
Okay, I'm gonna do my thing. I'm gonna look at the big TV so I can see everything going on here. I'm pretty sure this is illegal. We don't have broadcast rights, but since this isn't live, I think we'll be okay. Robbie Ray pitching for the Arizona Diamondbacks. The big left-hander with a wide stance on the mound, stepping in for the Colorado Rockies. That's gonna be Gerardo Parra. Robbie Ray looks in, gets his sign. Catcher sets up down and away, hits a spot, but it's not there. And we have a check. And, yes, he did go. Strike 1, 0-1 is the count. Robbie Ray looking great out there. One thing I don't like about the Diamondbacks is all their stupid uniform combinations. Hate the Diamondbacks. Hate Zach Greinke. Love Pat Neshek. He's my guy. Gerardo Parra steps back in on the season, hit 309. Every time you can hit above 300 is good. Ray with the pitch. Parra hits it right back up the middle for a scorching line drive single. The Rockies are in business. 1 on, 1 out here in the top of the 6th.
That was really good. You could make a career out of that. You know what you should do? You should go down to the local radio station and see if you can get a show.
Been there, B-words. All right. Continuing on here, okay? I don't know. Diamondbacks are probably going to win. Rockies are in business. I say the Rockies. Hopefully they win and you lose. So, who you got between L.A. and Cali?
Assuming Colorado wins?
Or Erie. Okay. L.A. and whoever
they
play.
If L.A. plays Colorado, it'll definitely be a win for L.A. in my opinion. And if L.A. plays Diamondbacks, I think it'll definitely be a win. I think L.A.'s just got it. Do you not?
Well, the way L.A. struggled late in the season, here's the deal with L.A., okay? They usually do pretty good in the DS. They do pretty decent in the ALDS. Both of these teams that they'll be going against are teams that they're familiar with, right? Because all three of these teams are in the AL West. But when have you been able to trust Clayton Kershaw in the postseason? And how much have you seen from Yu Darvish to show you that he's going to be a great number 2?
I am really just sick of this like narrative that Clayton Kershaw can't pitch in the postseason.
It's not going away.
I don't think he's that bad.
He's not going away.
You act like he's terrible. Like, I think he'll be just fine.
Okay, you fill some time. I'm going to find some Clayton Kershaw postseason numbers
for
you.
Well, okay, my version of filling time is not very good. I think that Clayton Kershaw has not been, maybe not Clayton Kershaw in the postseason, but he's definitely not been bad. People act like he's terrible in the postseason. He does decent. He's not bad at all. And I think that, I mean, they got Yu Darvish. I take the Dodgers over either one of those teams, in my opinion.
It may be that Clayton Kershaw is so great in the regular season that we do sort of look down on his postseason But here's how Clayton Kershaw has done in the postseason. 4-7 with a 4.55 ERA.
4.55 ERA?
4.55 ERA. Right. His career ERA
is how many games is that?
18 games, 14 starts.
All right.
89 innings pitched.
Which like I said, it's not Clayton Kershaw, but it's not great.
He only pitched 170. It's not great. You're right. Yeah. He only pitched 175 innings this year and 89 in the postseason.
Okay, but let me ask you this, okay?
I feel like he
Clayton Kershaw versus Zach Greinke, who do you pick?
In the regular season?
In the postseason. In any game. Just a game. It doesn't matter when it is. Just a game.
It doesn't matter when it is. It matters when it is and okay, where they're
pitching. Okay, postseason, because we're talking about postseason, obviously. Okay. I'm taking Clayton Kershaw, dude. Greinke. Are you? You're. This is why I'm better at this.
By the way, did you know Clayton Kershaw is only 29? Does he not feel like he's like 36 years old?
He's been pitching for like since he was 20 or so. Like he's been killing it for so long. He's like Mike Trout. When you have like MVP seasons every year, it's like, geez, he's been here forever.
He debuted in 08.
That's crazy, man. When he debuted, I wasn't even in high school.
That's crazy to me. I don't know. It's hard to ever bet against Clayton Kershaw, but he was down a little this year. I mean, his ERA was 2.31. So.
Yeah. 2.31?
Yeah.
He had a bad year.
Yeah, it was a bad year for him. Slightly below his career average of 2.36.
But okay, I think I'm picking LA no matter what. What are you doing?
Well, LA went on that bad losing streak close to the end of the year.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
I still don't know if, for some reason, to me, bats don't die but as a team. But, I mean, when you look at Justin Turner and when you look at a lot of the other guys that they've got there, nobody in particular comes to mind right now.
Justin Turner and the crew.
Yeah, Justin Turner and Du Bois. I mean, of course, they've got Yasiel Puig. They've got
Bellinger.
Yeah, Bellinger. Bellinger's a big name. Seager.
Yeah.
The shortstop. I mean, they've got a lot of good young pieces there, okay? I just think that lineup's going to be really tough to deal with. And I think they've got a really good rotation going into this. I think their bullpen's pretty good, decent enough. I don't have a clue who their closer is.
Jansen.
That's right, Kenley. Yeah, Kenley's the best closer in baseball, hands down. But I don't know beyond that. I think who was it they were trying to get before the trade deadline?
I don't remember.
It was supposed to be somebody nasty.
Oh, another bullpen pitcher?
Yeah.
Shoot, who was that?
It was a left-handed guy from – was it a left-handed guy from Baltimore? He was really, really
Britton.
Good.
Yeah, Zach Britton. Yeah, that's exactly who it was. Yeah. Jeez, if they had gotten Zach Britton, though.
Oh, it would have been Dodgers World Series, no problem.
I'm still picking Dodgers over them.
I think I'm going to go with the Dodgers, too. Yeah. But I think it'll go to five games. I think it'll go all the way. All
right, so both pick Dodgers. Let's go next one.
Okay.
Cubs, Nationals.
Oh, man. What a great series. What a great ALDS series.
That'll be a good one. And the Cubs will win.
You think?
Let me just hit you with a stat real quick, okay? The Washington Nationals have never won a postseason series.
You're right. Harper sucks. Cubs take that one in three.
Yep, there we go.
Actually, Cubs take that one in two.
It's a five-game series, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it would be three.
Yeah, Cubs take it in two, though.
Because they just give up?
Yeah.
They'll come out. They'll trot out there for that last game. They're just like, you guys just take it. Yeah. You know, we're just tired. We're just going to head them back home.
What was Washington's biggest problem the past couple of years has been a good bullpen and a good end of the bullpen, and I still don't think that they have that this season.
No.
So it's going to be tough to compete with the Cubs. They can destroy anybody they want in the East, but when the Braves finish third with 72 wins, you're not in a great division.
No.
All right, so you've got Cubs facing L.A. I've got Cubs in L.A., a rematch of last year's NLCS, right?
Yeah.
Who you got there?
Cubs L.A.? I'm going to go. Cubs.
You're going to go with the Cubs?
Going to go Cubs.
You're going to go. Why are you going with the Cubs again?
I just think they got that gene, man, that winning gene. They're just going to get there. They're going to show. It's going to be showtime, baby. They're going to win it. Get out there and play their hearts out. They won it the most.
Okay, all of these reasons you're giving have nothing to do with actual baseball.
Because I don't have anything to support my argument. I'm just feeling the Cubs, man.
Feeling the Cubs?
I'm just feeling the Cubs right now.
I don't know if this is the year I like the Dodgers rotation a lot.
I love the fact that the Dodgers can't get to the World Series.
I know. They can't. I know they can't, and I hate it. But it's kind of, and a lot of it depends. You don't know who's going to get injured, but you look at what Alex Wood did this year.
Yeah.
You look at what, I mean, Rich Hill was great last year. Mm-hmm. Clayton Kershaw, even I know he struggled in the postseason, but Clayton Kershaw is still one of the best pitchers in baseball.
The best pitcher in baseball. Let's get that right.
It's up for debate.
He's the best in the world.
I think a guy whose last name rhymes with Nicky, who pitches for the Braves, may have something to say about that. anyway, still a great player. I don't know, man. Is this the year the Dodgers do it?
No. Cubs will win.
They didn't have Bellinger last year.
I'm picking the Cubs. I'm picking the Cubbies. Going Cubs.
So you're going with a rematch.
I picked the Astros over the Indians. Right.
So you think it'll be Cubbies, Houston?
Yeah, team of the newly rebuilt.
I'm going Cubs, Dodgers. I mean,
Cubs, Cleveland. Dodgers. Cubs, for the first time, we got an all National League World Series.
I'm going Cleveland, Dodgers. Because I don't trust the Cubs starting pitching this year. Before the season, we weren't high on the Cubs. Well, we were a little high on the Cubs, but they had to really grind it out in the NL Central this year.
Yeah, they were not. They weren't. They didn't have
they didn't
it coming
show
out the
me
gate.
Something.
They didn't have it coming out the gate.
No,
they had a little complacency.
And they did a really. They got a lot of help from the other competition in their division sucking at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So, I think the
they were in a very easy division. If you think about it, the Cubs were in a very easy division.
They were.
Did I pick the Cubs over LA?
Yeah.
I want to go back. I want to say LA. Like the more I think about
I cannot
this,
believe
like,
I just talked to you. I've never
you
talked you into anything.
You talked me out of it, man.
I've never done that.
I'm going to LA and Astros in the World Series. Astros win it. There you go.
So it's LA and the Cubs, like, and that's a 7-game series. Dodgers in one. Like, I talked to you from the Cubs might win to Dodgers are going to win single-handedly, easy,
yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, I just think – I don't think it'll be easy, no problem. I think the Cubs are going to go out there, they're going to play baseball. I just think that – the more and more I think about it, and you're talking about this, I'm like, golly, the Dodgers, they got a team, man.
They do have a team. They got them boys.
I just really love the fact that the Dodgers can't get to the World Series. I just want that to happen.
What would change? But here's the one thing that Clayton Kershaw hasn't had a lot in his postseason career that he does this year. He was injured for a lot of this season, right? Now, he's been injured before.
Yeah.
But he was injured for a lot of this season, so he doesn't have the same amount of innings on his arm and his body that he has in the past.
Nor has he been ridden like he normally is. Usually they rely on Kershaw a lot. And this year, I mean, they had Alex Wood. They had Rich Hill. They had Yu Darvish. You know, they had more guys. I don't think he was as worn down as he is usually.
Yeah. So I've got the Dodgers and the Indians. You've got the Dodgers and the Astros with the Dodgers winning.
No, Astros win it all.
I mean, yeah, with the Astros winning. I've got the Indians winning it all. So we differ. We're the same.
We both think
much.
The AL will win, but just different teams.
Yeah. So is that Pat Neshek coming on? Pat Neshek?
Oh, we got a pack of
and
baseball
Ian
cards.
And Ian Desmond?
Got a pack of baseball cards in the back pocket.
Hey, Greeky, could you sign this?
Yeah, he runs over to second base. Hey, man, do you mind if you sign this real quick? In Desmond, I got your rookie card.
All right, man. So we've made our picks. We've talked about the mess in Atlanta, why we like each team. We've talked about this. We've talked about that. Why don't we get out of here? I know you've got something you want to do.
Go. Let's do it. Let's get out of here.
I had a great time. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for listening. I really do think that this is going to be a really good play the really good playoffs. But if it continues to go the way it has now, there's going to be a whole lot of runs put up that I was not expecting.
We're doing a show next week, right?
Why wouldn't we?
Okay. Well, you were just wrapping it up as if this was the end.
No. Yeah, we're doing a show next week. Planning on it.
Okay.
I might have to do it by myself, though. You got to start.
Are you saying in case I flake out?
How are you going to get here? Are you going to walk?
I might, dude, with my luck.
Yeah. Tell the people about the week that you've had. Okay. Just tell everybody about... This is Mason Rain's week in a nutshell.
Okay, so.
Include the huge softball loss that we had.
Yeah, okay, so 2 weeks ago, my girlfriend's car is parked on the street. Okay, my girlfriend had two cars. You know, she's in the middle of it. She bought one, she's about to sell the other one, right? So she had two cars. And I have my truck, right? So her car is parked on the street, her new car, and it got mowed over by a guy who is in the middle of the night, who's drunk driving, completely totaled the car. So then we were down to two cars. Saturday, we lucked out. We got tickets to the Alabama game. We get to Tuscaloosa. As we're pulling into Tuscaloosa, her car breaks down.
Should have watched the Braves instead of the stupid
Bama Ole Miss game.
I like to watch teams win.
We've lost once to the best team in the nation.
So, anyways, as we're pulling into Tuscaloosa, car breaks down. We have to push into the median. We sit there for an hour and a half for AAA to get there and tow us away. By the time we get done with all that crap, we have just enough time to get some food and then get to the gate. As we get to the gate, the guy at the gate's like, hey, sorry, you can't bring purses into the game anymore. You gotta go take that back to your car. I'm like, dude, we don't have a car. And he says, okay, well, there's a place over there where they let you store your purses, but it's unmonitored, yada, yada, yada. Basically, it's a free purse store. So we walk over to the free purse store, and I'm like, dude, we're not going to – rather than hide your purse in the free purse store, let's just hide it somewhere else. We end up hiding it under a dumpster somewhere because, in my mind, that was the best thing we could do. Go to the game. The whole game, we're thinking about this purse. Like, this thing is like a $250 purse, right? Don't want to get stolen. Get out of the game.
Wait. Actually, continue. I'm not going to interrupt. This is your time. Keep going.
Thank you for letting me have my time.
I'm actually going to turn around and watch this game, so you keep talking.
No, I don't want you. I like to when you make eye contact with me. Okay. It comforts me.
All right, gotcha.
Comforts my nerves. Okay, so the whole game, he just turned around. Great. The whole game. See, now I can't even focus on what I'm trying to tell because you turned around. I just feel like I'm talking to myself. The whole game, I'm worried about this freaking purse, right?
Hold on, just to let you know.
Is your mic muted?
Yeah, even if I'm staring right at you, I'm not listening.
That's fine, but it comforts my nerves.
Okay, I'm here for you, baby. Keep going.
All right. Okay, so anyways, the whole game, we're worried about this purse. It was a blowout anyways, and I never leave games early, but I ended up leaving the game early just because I was so, worried about this getting stolen because it's like a $250 purse. Get out there. Luckily, this purse is hiding right underneath that dumpster where I put it. So we got the purse back. Get home. But at this point, we are down to one car. I have one vehicle, my truck, right? Monday morning, I'm driving to class.
What type of truck do you have? Let's get specific with details.
It's 2000 Chevy Silverado 1500. It's a little old. About to graduate high school. About 18. Driving to work. Or not work, I'm sorry. I'm driving to class. In the middle of Florence Boulevard, my drive shaft falls out of my truck. My U-joint broke. Had to take that to the dealership. So now we're down to zero cars. Had to get a car from somebody else to borrow. And on top of that, softball game got destroyed. Destroyed the softball game. I don't know if I left something out, but it's just been one of those weeks where, you know, when it rains, it pours.
I don't feel bad for you.
Huh?
I don't feel bad.
I know you don't.
For you.
I know you think I deserve everything good because I'm... Why do I deserve it all?
Tom Petty said it best. You can stand me up at the gates of hell.
But you won't back down.
But I won't back down.
What does that have to do with anything that I just said? And why I deserve this?
We'll see you next time.
Ahead in the Count, the podcast. Put it on the board, yes!